If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
In this case, because of the sensitivity of the call and Mr. Eisenberg told me not to speak to anybody else, I only read out, outside of the NSC, two individuals.
Two individuals.
Das Kent and one other person.
And you're not willing to tell us who that other individual is?
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Chairman,
point of order.
The gentleman suspend, counsel.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to enforce the rule with regard to the disclosure, with regard to the intelligence officer.
Thank you, counsel. You know, as I indicated before, this committee will not be used to out the whistleblower. That same
Mr. Chairman,
necessity
can you first stop the time so I don't lose the time?
Will persist. You are recognized again, Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see how this is outing the whistleblower. The witness has testified in his deposition that he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. You have said, even though no one believes you, you have said you don't know who the whistleblower is. So how is this outing the whistleblower to find out who this individual is?
Jordan, this is your time for questioning. You can use it any way you like, but your question should be addressed to the witness.
I'd like to.
And your question should not be addressed to trying to out the whistleblower.
Well, okay. Colonel Vindman, there's another thing Mr. Morrison told us in his deposition. He said he was not concerned about the call itself. He said there was nothing illegal or improper on the call, but he was concerned about the call leaking, the contents of the call leaking. He said this. He was concerned how it would play out in Washington's polarized environment, how the contents would be used in Washington's political process. Morrison was right.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan, could I get a page?
Page 44.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Morrison was right. The call leaks. The whistleblower goes to Chairman Schiff, staff. Then he runs off to the lawyer, the same lawyer who said in January of 2017 the coup has started against President Trump. The one thing the Democrats didn't, one thing they didn't count on was the president releasing the call transcript. And
yep.
Let us all see what he said. They didn't count on that. Transcript shows no linkage. The two individuals on the call have both said no pressure, no pushing, no linkage, but security assistance dollars to an investigation.
All of this. This is Jim Jordan, by the way. I thought that was really good. That was a really good exchange. I watched that live. That was a very good exchange that took place just a little bit ago because it's, what day is this of the impeachment? Whatever. I have to think.
Well, how many days?
11,000.
3 years and some days.
I don't even know at this point. But we're going to bring you some of the highlights, some of the our favorite moments from the questioning portion of this when they're not making speeches. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter's, official Dana Lash on Facebook. By the way, make sure and visit danaradio.com because we relaunched the site yesterday evening and there's a bunch of new content up there. Plus, there's also ways for you to go and access very easily and very quickly, not just the podcast archives, but also the live stream, the video, everything else. And you can watch even the full 3 hours of the show. And there's a couple of different ways to do that. And you can access all of that at danaradio.com. At DLash as well on Twitter. And official Dana Lash on Facebook because it's live streamed up there. Okay, so let me just distill this down just really quickly. Because there's so many things I want to get to, including Letter Rip Tater Chip, which I have been waiting since yesterday evening. And I just really just want to applaud myself for my patience right now. So first, one of the big things that we noted in that back and forth with Jim Jordan there, and one of the reasons why it was a little bit, you know, it's a heftier soundbite, but I wanted to make sure that you got the full conversation because Jim Jordan was giving you the pathway, as it were, to the Vindman's, his inability to actually follow proper protocol. He didn't want to go and talk to his boss. He wanted to leak, and he wanted to leak to one of his friends. And then after he was able to leak this information out, which he should be court-martialed for, by the way, only after that was he able then to, then he went to the NSC, and then he went and tried to follow proper protocol. And that is what Jim Jordan was discussing. And in fact, who was it? Ratcliffe, literally like five minutes ago? Like, I think it was like 5 minutes ago, Ratcliffe was questioning. And that was some of the, he was building off of that. Jim Jordan is speaking again. He was building off of that because that was, that's the, because he asked him, why didn't you go? If you were so concerned about this, why didn't you go to your superior? Right? And Vindman, his answer literally was, it was a really busy week.
Wow.
That's about as good, by the way, as Prince Andrew's explanation as to why he could not have been in that weirdo photograph at Epstein's place with that underage girl that was being used as a sex slave by Jeffrey Epstein. It's because those aren't his fingers. His fingers aren't chubby. He also doesn't sweat. That was his actual explanation for all of this. Not even making any of this up. So Jordan was asking, okay, so why is it, you know, that you are, why is it that you are, you didn't go to your superior? You didn't go to your superior with your concerns. You talked to your brother. You talked to George Kent. You talked to this leaker who is with the CIA that we know. You talked to all of these individuals. So, and this was after you were told not to talk to anybody. So this is why he's asking these questions the way that it is, that the way that he is. And this, let me pull this soundbite up because this, look, I'm going to be real with you. I went into this with such an open, honestly, just show me evidence of shenanigans. I think we're at that point now. Just show us some evidence of some kind of shenanigans. This really is just the worst kind of way to respond to this. This was, let me pull this up because I have a bunch of things in front of me. And this was earlier on in the questioning when Nunez was speaking with Vindman, and he did not like the way Vindman was addressing him. And so he corrected him because he did not like the manner in which Nunez was addressing him. Listen.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, did you discuss the July 25th phone call with anyone outside the White House on July 25th or the 26th? And if so, with whom?
Yes, I did. My core function is to coordinate U.S. government policy, interagency policy, and I spoke to two individuals with regards to providing a some sort of readout of the call.
Two individuals that were not in the White House?
Not in the White House, cleared U.S. government officials with appropriate need to know.
And what agencies were these officials with?
Department of State, Department of State Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent, who is responsible for the portfolio Eastern Europe, including Ukraine, and a individual from the Office of
this is longer than it needed to be.
Individual in the intelligence community.
As you know, the intelligence community has 17 different agencies. What agency was this individual from?
If I could interject here, we don't want to use these proceedings.
It's our time,
I know,
Mr. Chair.
But we need to protect the whistleblower.
Okay, so basically, the whole point of getting this clip, which apparently,
I want to make sure,
you know, we didn't get it. The whole point of having this clip was because at one point Nunez referred to Vindman as Mr. Vindman, and Vindman, and I'll play that here since apparently I can just access it a hell of a lot easier. Let me pull it up here because I thought it was quite interesting. He was referring to him as Mr. Vindman during one of the questionings, one of these Q&As, and he didn't like it.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified.
Okay, so I thought that was kind of, that was just weird. And I'm not the only person who thought that, because Chris Stewart, who's a member of Congress, and he's also on the Intelligence Committee here, he was questioning Vindman as well, a Republican congressman from Utah. And Chris Stewart is also a veteran. He served over 14 years, I believe. He was in the Air Force, and he noted that it just seemed a little weird that because it wasn't meant as a sign of disrespect. It's something that is almost customary for, you know, whenever there are these formal hearings and people are asking questions, and especially when time is of the essence and there's literally a clock in front of you that's running it down, you're also trying to show some respect to individuals while at the same time trying to do everything that you can to minimize however many words you expend. And I don't think that it was meant maliciously, which is something that Congressman Stewart noted. But Stewart, I thought his response was interesting, because he had said, yeah, well, it just seemed weird. There's no reason for that, is what he said. He goes, you know, I served, and I'm not going to demand that people, especially in this particular type of setting, refer to me by that specific rank. I don't know. Is that much of a big deal? I mean, particularly when we're talking about a guy who actually ought to be court-martialed because he violated law and was leaking. This guy was doing exactly what Christopher Steele did. This Alexander Vindman. He did what Christopher Steele did. Christopher Steele went out and planted information absolutely everywhere. He went and leaked to as many people as possible, which ultimately, that's the reason cited as to why he was fired by the FBI, why they ended their relationship. And he went through and Vindman leaked to every single person out there. And then finally, after he told as many people as possible, without telling his boss had no idea, by the way, this entire time. That's one of the things that we were learning about throughout this, the question and answering during the hearing. His boss apparently had no idea any of this was going on. And so only after he leaks to everyone else does he then go to the NSC, tell his boss, etc. So there's lots of questions here, and we're going to come back to this because there's a lot to discuss. Also, more with the impeachment gate stuff, there's a new poll out. Independents' opposition to the impeachment inquiry has jumped 10 percentage points in 1 week because people are tired of this. We're tired of it. For crying out loud, Thanksgiving is next week. I'm trying to figure out what poundage of turkey I'm going to do because I'm not having a huge Thanksgiving this year because I'm having sinus surgery on Thursday. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do. I want to obsess over that and not this ridiculousness. They're turning people against them because they're obsessed and they don't have any evidence to substantiate any of these claims, and people just see it nonstop. They see people making accusations. They've seen it for 3 years now, but they've never seen anything to substantiate it. This poll, which was done by Politico Morning Consult, released earlier today, showed 47% of independents oppose the inquiry now. That was just compared to 37% last week. And I was looking at the crosstab data for this, and it's about this. It's the same margin of error, and it's the same number of registered voters. And also somewhat, there's just a little bit, maybe a little bit more left-leaning sampled. But for the most part, it's a pretty even split. And it's similar to the demo surveyed last week. In just 1 week, it's the opposition to this has gone up by 10 points, which I think is pretty significant. Incredibly significant. So the schedule for this week for the ongoing impeachment Victorian Freak Show, you have Alexander Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, and Jennifer Williams. Vindman, remember, he was with NSC. He was considered their top Ukraine expert, but then he was asked a number of different things about Ukraine that he didn't even know. Did anyone else pick up on that? Like, particularly as it related to some of the investigation with the corruption? He just didn't know. He didn't know anything about Burisma. I thought that was a little weird. That seemed odd to me. You're described as the Ukraine expert at NSC. I don't know. I don't know what the levels, what the standards there are. So, and then, of course, it was Jennifer Williams, who is an aide to VP Pence. And then tomorrow it's going to be Gordon Sondland. And then tomorrow evening it'll be Laura Cooper and David Hale. And then we'll set you up with some of that stuff as well. Also coming up, letter rip tater chip, the fart heard around the world that literally trended higher than anything else on Twitter yesterday. That's just where we are right now. In fact, Eric Swalwell's noxious emission has now pulled higher than he has ever. So we'll get into all of that and more. We have a lot of stuff to hit. I was at the gym earlier today. It was upper body day. So I was working specifically shoulders and arms and chest. So it was, and I'm already like, But it was the music that they had playing in the gym today. No offense, it was just awful. It's just like I can't listen to Boots and Pants. Like, who picks this music? You know, it should just be like standard classic rock. That's what it should be in every gym. So because that wasn't in the gym, I had my Raycons on. I have the E50s. They have a great noise cancellation feature because they come with these gel pads that you just snap onto the wireless earbuds, which were made by actual audio engineers, by the way. You just snap them on, and it provides a more custom fit in the ear and also an extra layer of noise cancellation too. It's pretty comfortable. And I didn't hear any of the horrible music that was just killing my flow. And Raycon, they have the E25s out. That's the newest pair that they have. They have a bunch of different kinds. But also remember, amazing Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals. You're going to use these things every single day. These are the best wireless earbuds, I think, that are out there. And they don't have any weird stems or wires that are sticking out. You can visit buyraycon.com/Dana. Check out their Black Friday and Cyber Monday savings, because you can save a lot of money on an already super affordable yet premium pair of wireless earbuds. Buy Raycon. Raycon.com/Dana. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I was reading the story from The Wrap, because you guys all know that Clint Eastwood has a new movie coming out about Richard Jewell, which actually looks incredibly powerful. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, though, is questioning the accuracy of Eastwood's film Richard Jewell ahead of its premiere this Wednesday. In a letter obtained by The Wrap, AJC editor-in-chief Kevin Riley challenged the portrayal of the newspaper in the film. You can imagine how Eastwood portrayed them. According to an unnamed colleague that had seen it, they said that Eastwood depicted the Journal Constitution and the reporter in basically an improper manner. They basically, that it just showed that she was engaged in some sort of impropriety, et cetera, et cetera. And they're trying to say that that's not accurate. I'm still going to go see this movie. I don't even care. Moving on down the line, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 86, is back on the bench after falling ill with a stomach bug and missing Supreme Court arguments. I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to make sure that I hit it because I think this is so important. So hospitals are now going to be required by the Trump administration to reveal discounted prices that they give to insurers. The administration is releasing a sweeping proposal at the end of this week that is going to require hospitals to publicly disclose all the discounted prices that they secretly negotiate with insurance companies. And they want to increase price transparency for patients who shop for care. The final rule will force hospitals in 2021 to report the rates that they strike with individual insurers for all services, drugs, supplies, facility fees, doctors, everything, which I think is going to go a long way for some sort of transparency there as well. Also, I love this story from Patriots' Joan Williams. CNBC said that Joan Williams lives off 10% of his income and says a high school finance class taught him how to save. He's with the New England Patriots. The awesome story. Stick with us. More of the show on the way.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
First off, the music went away too quickly and we had two audio sound bites going at the same time. So we're going to stop and we're going to start again. So cue the music and then one audio sound bite and make sure you crank the volume on that.
It's The Dana Show.
God love you.
Go.
far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint
that
I've heard from...
So, I just want to let you guys know, and I'm not even going to lie about it. Everybody loves a fart joke. And we need a palate cleanser. Maybe, perhaps, like, not that way, but... I am an 8-year-old boy when it comes to this kind of humor, and I am not even going to apologize for it, for all the tight clenched people out there, and I am not going to hide from it. I have waited since last night to talk about this. And so I didn't even know. I'm like, how are we going to come in with this segment? Because what you just heard was Eric Swalwell on MSNBC last night talking to Chris Matthews. Let's just hear the soundbite without music.
Without music.
Far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
He did pause. There was a beat there because at first he denied it. Well, Hardball actually tweeted out the meme of the two Spider-Mans, men, which is prepper, which is the right way. Spider-Mans pointing at each other. he apparently someone had shared a text that they had with him, and he's like, it wasn't me, and I'm all, that's exactly what somebody who did it would say. Yep. But now, in just let's be strong with our reasoning. Okay. Normally when you do these interviews, you wear a lav mic, and I think he was at the Capitol, correct? So he had a lav mic on. That would have had to have been some decibelage for it to hit that lav. Unless they, as you asked so eloquently, Kane, last night, did they lav his backside? But you didn't say backside.
No.
You did not say that word. It did not have that many letters. There were only three, and two of them were S's.
True.
So... it makes me wonder, was it Chris Matthews? Was it someone in the control room? Because clearly it was something. And there were people that were online saying, oh, okay, we heard that go out on MSNBC. And I was just like, let her rip, tighter chip. Let's do it. Let's do it. But he did pause.
I wasn't convinced it was real. When you first put it in Slack last night, I'm like, this isn't real. This is too loud. They had to mic up his backside.
You know what? I didn't even care when I shared it. I just said, how is this real? That's all I did. I didn't say it was. I just said, how?
Right.
But he did. It's just too. He literally paused as he was saying it. And so I thought, you know, it's probably because he's so used to talking out of his butt. It's difficult for him to kind of regulate that whenever he's doing interviews. But the other thing is that so far, they just did some polling, and his emission actually ranks higher than he does in terms of approval. No, that's not true, Rachel. She just made the face like, I just sold her on that so bad, and I didn't even try. God bless America. She's so innocent and pure of heart. She was like, really? Oh, my gosh. So crazy.
In her defense, it's believable.
Well, it is, because it's him, right? It's him. He's like that awkward dude. He just puts a little bit too much gel in the comb, and he just combs it to where it's just, you know what I mean? Like, his hair looks wet and not styled. Anyway, I've been waiting my entire life to... this is why people go into radio, ladies and gentlemen, is for stuff like this. But then I thought, okay, well, what kind of song are we going to come in with? Because there's so many options. You have the Skynyrd song, but then, of course, you have the Gap Band, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Which was the... natural cue for you to play that song.
There we go.
So this was the other thought that we had. We're like, okay, so how do we even come into this? We're going to bring some 80s synth, a little Gap Band? Are we going to, because this seems like a natural fit for the soundbite too, right?
He dropped it. Right.
I mean, the rule is that he who smelt it, dealt it. And then, of course, I thought Outkast Bombs Over Baghdad, which seemed also like the natural choice here.
That's a good one.
It just seemed like the natural track to play. I mean, we could just sit here and jam to this for the rest of the day. I love me some Outkast. Okay, so all I know is this. I would have actually grown some respect for him if he would have played it up hardcore. If he would have said, yeah, you heard it, or something to that effect. I would have fell out. I would have lost it, and I would have been like, okay, you know what? You're not a total doucher. How about that? It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Just feels like that, what is it, that People magazine section that my mom used to, no, not my mom, my aunt used to always have one of these at her house, and the People magazine, and there's a section like, celebrities, they're just like us. Like, they go to the store, look at them buying fruit, or they're doing, like, totally random things, farting on MSNBC. Anyway, so I was, again, it's just like, this is some of the reasons, this is why we get into radio, ladies and gentlemen. So they're taking a little bit of a breaky break here as the investigation, witch hunt, whatever the hell that this is. It's like watching toddlers play soccer, watching this thing, because they all buzz around one thing. Oh, somebody, he said a buzz, he said something. Let's all just go around this one point. One of the, where's this at? I had, because Elise Stefanik had some time to answer some questions, or to ask questions, rather. And I thought it was very interesting. She was going, and I have this, I'm going to hit this really quickly. She was asking questions of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who had already explained that he felt as though the president's foreign policy, in his estimation, wasn't he was making decisions that Vindman wouldn't make, which is so awesome because we totally elected Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman as president of the United States. Oh, wait, no, we didn't. Anyway, Representative Stefanik reminds him of this in her eloquent fashion, in her eloquent way. Listen.
Struck when you testified in your deposition, I would say, first of all, I'm the director for Ukraine. I'm responsible for Ukraine. I'm the most knowledgeable. I'm the authority for Ukraine, for the National Security Council and the White House. I just want a clarification. You report to Tim Morrison, correct?
In my advisory,
your direct report is Tim Morrison,
in
correct?
In my advisory, just to clarify, in my advisory capacity, I advise up through the chain of command. That's what I do.
And the chain of command is Tim Morrison to Ambassador John Bolton, the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And do you agree that the President sets the policy as Commander-in-Chief, as you testified previously?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, he's the one who sets the foreign policy, not this guy. Because basically what his testimony has amounted to is, well, I just didn't think. That's great. We're so excited that you're made of opinions. Just keep them to yourself, because you're there to carry out the mandate that voters gave by electing this individual, by electing the president of the United States. I mean, by all means, if you would like to run for that office, which I think you pretty much shot yourself in the foot, so to speak, now, then you can do that and you can set foreign policy. But that's not. And this guy, and by the way, this was something I thought that was very interesting as well. When he was he was going back and forth with a certain other members of Congress, and then Joaquin Castro, who's also on this committee, was asking him as to Ukraine's involvement. And I remember I read, we talked about the story that ran, what was this? It was like 2016, 2017. Politico ran a piece wherein they were discussing Ukraine's involvement in the United States election and exactly what they were trying to do to influence the outcome. So it's not as though this is up for debate. It really isn't. Because this is something that has been discussed and widely reported on, etc. The story actually is from January 11th, 2017. And it reads, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. Kiev officials are scrambling to make amends with the president-elect after quietly working to boost Clinton. So the idea that now these same individuals, that you have individuals saying, oh, no, none of this happened. And let me play this for you. This is Joaquin Castro talking about this with Vindman.
You both listened in real time to the July 25th call. In particular, you would have heard President Trump ask the president of Ukraine, quote, I'd like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. And, quote, the server, they say Ukraine has it. This is a debunked conspiracy theory that has no basis in fact. President Trump's own former Homeland Security Advisor, Thomas P. Bossert, called the president's assertion that Ukraine intervened in the 2016 elections, quote, not only a conspiracy theory, but, quote, completely debunked, unquote. Colonel Vindman, are you aware of any evidence to support the theory that the Ukrainian government interfered in the 2016 election?
Congressman, I am not, and I'm furthermore, I would say that this is a Russian narrative that President Putin has promoted.
And are you aware of any part of the U.S. government, its foreign policy or intelligence apparatus, that supports that theory?
No, I'm not aware of.
So that is what Vindman testified to just a little bit ago. But again, I take you back to this Politico piece from 2017, where it discusses how a Ukrainian-American operative who is consulting for the DNC met with top officials in Ukraine's embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties. They were working on behalf of Hillary Clinton, and what they were trying to do was force Manafort's resignation and advance the narrative that the campaign was somehow connected to Russia, right? And that all of this was being orchestrated by Putin. So that's not really, and we also know that CrowdStrike, by the way, the server where it originated in Ukraine also, and then Politico did their own separate independent investigation, and they write that they found evidence of Ukrainian government involvement in the race that appears to strain diplomatic protocol dictating the government's refrain from engaging in one another's decisions. So this guy, Alexander Vindman, is supposed to be this big expert, correct? He's the big expert. Either he is denying this, which I would think that would then be dishonest, or he's just unaware and completely not doing his job well. And I think it's actually the former. The whole reason, and my friend Sean Davis over at The Federalist makes a great point. He writes, these impeachment proceedings are occurring because Alex Vindman, an insubordinate mid-level military officer who had a snit fit about not being in charge of American foreign policy, decided to collude with a CIA operative to overthrow the commander-in-chief of the United States. He's not wrong. The end. He's not wrong. So coming up, not every impeachment witness is a selfless hero. We have to discuss this as well. FedEx versus New York Times. New York Times wrote a bunk story. FedEx called them on the carpet. Now it looks like they may actually have a debate. Very interesting new documentation has surfaced regarding Peter Strzok, the lawsuit involving him, his wife's text, all kinds of stuff. Wait until you hear some of this stuff from the latest development. Also, South Dakota has spent nearly $500,000 on a new anti-meth ad campaign. It sounds like something that we're, it sounds like South Park. It does. I swear this is how they operate. They put this stuff and they get people to do this stuff in real life, and then they make episodes about it, because this is the only way this is the only way I can explain this. So you don't want to miss that story. We'll discuss that as well. In the meantime, Wreaths Across America is gearing up for their big event on December 14th, my family and friends, we are all joining in our area, and Wreaths Across America wants you to get involved as well. So what is Wreaths Across America? It's a national nonprofit organization. It was founded over 10 years ago, and what they do is they've expanded the annual wreath laying ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. Now, the first wreaths, there was like several thousand of them that were laid on veteran cemeteries, and this is expanded to veteran cemeteries and other locations all around the country. And their mission is to instill remembering, honoring, and teaching into the next generation. And this is carried out in part. They do a ton of other things throughout the year, but on December 14th, they carry this out by coordinating wreath laying ceremonies. Now, my family and I, we've sponsored some wreaths, and we're volunteering to lay them on veteran cemeteries coming up that Saturday. And the importance of this, first off, it remembers the sacrifice from all of these men and women who served. It honors what they do, and it teaches the next generation about the courage, the valor, the responsibility, and the sacrifice. And it's a really great place. I was having a conversation with Karen Wester, who is with Wreaths Across America, that the only common ground that we really have anymore in this country is on veteran cemeteries. So this is just a great way, sadly, to get together and honor what these men and women have done for us and instill what this means in the next generation. I really encourage you to join me. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org. You can purchase wreaths. You can volunteer your time. It's really easy to find a group or location near you. Everybody has a role to play. Wreathsacrossamerica.org.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
The beautiful state of South Dakota, ladies and gentlemen, they launched a campaign for meth prevention. And, well, the campaign is called Meth. We're on it. Listen to their commercial.
I'm on meth.
I'm on meth.
I'm on it, too. So am I.
So am I.
I'm on meth.
Meth is not someone else's problem. It's everyone in South Dakota's problem. And we need everyone to get on it.
I'm on it.
I'm on it.
I'm on it, too.
And it's all mainly like kids and the elderly. We're on meth. So I think it's kind of, I just think it's funny. I love their governor. I just think this is so funny. The way that they're, look, it's a serious, blah, 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 blah. It's a serious problem. No one's saying that it's not. Come on. But, I mean, it just says, meth, we're on it. And it's black letters over the shape of the state. And they spent $500,000 on it. Okay. It is funny. Come on, people. This is funny. I just, yeah. What was it? They, because apparently this isn't like the first time that there's been kind of a funny campaign, but this seems very South Parkian. Who did the ad? I've been looking for that, like, because normally it's some ad agency in Minnesota. That's all I know. I don't know who it was, but it was some ad agency in Minnesota. Surprised it wasn't in Oklahoma. And the meth, we're on it. Do you think it works, or is it just kind of, is that, do these ad campaigns actually work, though? Do you forget that meth exists and that there's a problem until you see somebody go, meth, we're on it. And you go, wow, I'm not, but maybe there are people on it. Wow, okay. What does it do? Seriously, what do ad campaigns like this do? Are there people on the planet that don't know that there is meth and people are on it? Right? Does it make you, what is it supposed to do? They spent $500,000 on this. I would just think that you want to see kind of what the return on that investment looks like.
$500,000 buys a lot of meth for all those people.
Yeah, I know. Well, and we can buy meth with this. Yeah. All right. Second hour on the way. Glad demands more from Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A bent a knee, but apparently it wasn't far enough. We'll explain. Stick with us. The other day, the president made a statement about how Democrats always stick together and Republicans don't. Shouldn't we focus more on taking a stronger stance beyond our churches and living rooms? So I'm asking all of you, join together and become everyday advocates for things in which we believe. Showing your patriotism can go beyond how you vote. You can do it with a service that you use every day by switching your cell phone service to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only cell phone service that donates a portion of your monthly bill to organizations fighting for the values in which you believe. Right now, Patriot Mobile has an incredible limited time offer. Buy one line, get one line free for 6 months when you make the switch today. Get reliable 4G LTE nationwide service for as low as $25 per month while helping to preserve the country that we all love. Don't wait. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524.
You know, Satan is as powerful as God. And that is the mentality that people have a lot of times when they're in service to fame, money, manpower. You start to feel like Satan is the most powerful. And you start to feel like if you service God, that in life, it means you will not prosper. And the only way to prosper is in service to fame. And it's like, the devil stole all the good producers. The devil stole all the good musicians, all the good artists, all the good designers, all the good business people, and said, you gotta come over and work for me. And now the trend, the shift is going to change. Jesus has won the victory. You know, we have our own daughters and we'll still be rapping about trying to hook up with somebody's daughter. Like not taking the responsibility as a man. That's why I say the song, closed on Sunday is the hardest record ever made, as hard as the NWA record, because it's talking about protecting your kids from the indoctrination of the media, the thousands and thousands of images that are fed to children.
Mm. That's Kanye West when he was talking in Houston. Welcome back to the show. Second hour of the program. I'm Dana Lash, and you can watch all 3 hours by simply visiting DanaRadio.com. You can watch it on Facebook, watch it on YouTube. We're everywhere. So, all 3 hours. And then you don't forget to check out the podcast archives as well. DanaRadio.com relaunched yesterday evening, and there's a bunch of new content up there. I love what he said there, and he's absolutely right. I like what he said, how the devil stole all the best artists and some of the best producers and business people, which is true. And when I listen to production particularly, and there's a lot of really good Christian artists out there, but man, there's a lot of blue-eyed soul out there too. And I'm not being mean, but I'm saying, you know, you have to, shouldn't God Rock be the best? You know, shouldn't it be the best produced, the most innovative, all of that? And so I get what he's saying right there. I thought his album was really good. I was talking about it this morning, actually, when I was at the gym with some friends that we work out with. And it's just a really well done album. He announced yesterday he's doing a second one with Dr. Dre, which is going to be really interesting because, you know, Dre's going to have a lot of old school beats on it and a lot of some of the drum sound, the sounds, all of that. That's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what he does with it. But there, the things that he is saying, it's such common sense. And I made this remark yesterday when I was talking to my husband. I said, did you ever think that, I don't know, Kanye would be on the path that he is and Chick-fil-A would be making the decisions that they are right now? Right. I mean, oh my gosh. So I wrote something about this up at DanaRadio.com. And I always think nuance is important. And I looked at, and I wanted to be charitable in my reasoning. And I think that's important for us to do when we're looking at stuff like this. You have to be charitable I don't want to be inconsistent and accuse an entity of being uncharitable with their associations. We got to be, if we're going to be uncharitable with our reasoning. However, I have some very interesting quotes from some of their executives in there, because I had asked yesterday, are they bending a knee to the rage mob? And I think I feel confident in saying that I think that they are. And I also saw this, GLAD, by the way, is demanding more from Chick-fil-A. So after Chick-fil-A, let me just run through this. They did an interview where they announced that at the beginning of next year, they're not going to donate to the Salvation Army Fellowship of Christian Athletes anymore. And they said that they were changing up some of the charities that they were working with. And I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. And I really wanted to be, again, charitable with my reasoning on this. But then I started looking at some of what the executives were telling the press. And there was one quote from one of their executives in this article that I have linked at DanaRadio.com, where you can go read the whole thing. It said, but after years of taking it on the chin, as a Chick-fil-A executive told BizNow, the latest round of headlines was impossible to ignore. This time it was impeding the company's growth, end quote. And they were discussing how they were trying to expand internationally. You know, their first international store that they opened in the UK ended up being shut down after a few months because of protests against it. And then they had San Antonio and Buffalo that they wanted to open up restaurants in those airports, and they ended up being shut out of that. And I feel like they're kind of, in a way, it's almost like an Under Armour path. You have companies that really cater to a specific demo. And Under Armour really had a lot of hunters and all kinds of stuff. I have friends who are Under Armour athletes. Under Armour will not work with firearms. That's what I was told. Not by them, but by my friends who work with them. They don't deal with firearms. And they've really kind of expanded it out to more than just people who are in the great outdoors also, which I don't have a problem with. And I don't think that Under Armour, the difference is I don't think that they heavily played on that. And so, if they were looking at this from a strictly clinical business sense, yeah, I guess it's bad news to be associated with Christian groups that only ever help people. I guess it's bad news. I had this conversation online a little bit earlier because one of the things that I cannot stand is intellectual laziness. And I think it is the height of intellectual laziness to characterize just by itself Christian faith as being discriminatory or being anti, as some sort of ridiculous ad hominem substitute for any kind of reason at all in a nuanced discussion. Because the whole presupposition hangs on malice. And that is fueled by the bias of the person making the accusation, not the facts of the matter. So I can't stand that intellectual laziness. It is a misunderstanding of the faith and the greatest commandment of that faith. And so I can, looking at this from a very clinical business sense, this is an organization that they wanted to expand internationally. And as their executive said, it was impeding the company's growth. So is that how it was interpreted, I guess, in the Chick-fil-A boardroom, that it was, you know, impeding their growth? My problem is, though, is that by doing what they did, and there's a lot of phrasing in their original statement and then in the interviews that they gave subsequently that really just make me, they were looking at the growth of the company, which I don't think growth is an issue. This is a company that's now one of the top three, aren't they, fast food franchises in the world? They're going to be taking over McDonald's soon. I don't think it's a situation of growth. It's had nothing to do with growth. And the other thing is, this isn't even comparable to protests that they've had previously 7 years ago. That was, I think, the height of the protests. People are mad at them because they associate with the Salvation Army, that who helps everyone. Good heavens. I made a couple people mad, though, yesterday on Twitter.
Only a couple?
Some people who were on our side. There's some nuance here, and don't be Mr. Literalson. I said, here's something that we got to remember out there. First off, there were some people who were in my mentions yesterday, and they were stating, and I have no idea to what they were stating this in response, that they wouldn't support a boycott, which I don't do hive mind stuff anyway, because I don't like the Borg. But I don't think that evangelism begins or ends with a fast food chicken restaurant either. And I think that there's two things that are true. And this one's might make some people mad. First thing is that Christians and culture need to stop looking for any other savior but Jesus, number one, because that battle was already won. And number two, why are you giving away your victory? Why are Christians out there all over on Twitter and all over on Facebook, why are y'all giving away your victory? Do we not cancel culture already? How many times did they try to come after that establishment? And how many times did good people go out of their way to support that establishment? Not with angry protests, not by being mean, but simply by having dinner there and fellowshipping together and presenting a face of grace. And through that tactic, Christians canceled the cancel culture for Chick-fil-A. Now, Chick-fil-A can give it away and they can do what they're going to do, but it doesn't change the history. It doesn't rewrite the fact that the company has continued to grow and be successful even after Christians stood against the cancel culture of social justice warriors and everyone else who just are anti-Christian bigots. So why would you give away that victory? Why? Now, I understand there are people who feel betrayed. I get you. I know a lot of you went out of your way to support this company. A lot of you thought that you had an ally in the fight for equal consideration and treatment of your faith. But one thing that I also know is that all of those people who are lamenting Chick-fil-A's decision, I know that they're going to go out of their way to increase their donations to the Salvation Army this year. They're going to go out of their way to make sure they put extra in those red kettles. And they're going to answer that call of need just the way that they did when they went to defend a faith-based business 7 years ago. Here's something else I want you to remember with all of this, because I've seen some people, and I understand that they're real mad. Do you all remember the woman that worked there in the drive-thru, Rachel? I think her name was Rachel. She was the one who, when they, this was like 7 years ago, when people were going through a Chick-fil-A, they wanted to ask for a drink of water, and they were doing that because they decided to finally Google some scripture, which, you know, Googling scripture to own the cons, okay? And they also wanted to run out Chick-fil-A's resources, and there was a guy who videotaped himself yelling at this girl who was there in the drive-thru window. You all remember that? And the internet went after him, and she gave one interview only, and it was to Stuart Varney on Fox Business, and she said that she wouldn't do anything differently, that she was just a service worker, which I thought was so amazing. And in light of all of that, and I made a speech about this at Value Voter Summit, and I said, you know, we all like to think that we act like her, but we don't. We were acting like that guy who was screaming at her, all of us, including the people who were supporting Chick-fil-A. She was the one who laid out the blueprint for how we ought to act in those situations. A lot of people like to think grace is weak. I think people who think grace is weak are weak. If you think grace is weak, you're a weak person. You're too weak for it. It's too easy to be mad and spittle and in your face and say stupid red meat platitudes that everybody else says on YouTube. It's a lot harder to be nicer to people who don't deserve it, honestly. But I think that the only way to cancel culture and to offset these false and malicious narratives of the press, you have to present a face of grace. You have to be like that girl who was the drive-thru worker. And again, stop allowing people to steal your victory. There have been two battles won. The first one's obvious. And the second one is that they didn't take down that business. That business decided to take a knee all on its own. All right, so we got a lot more to come into here, including Florida Man a little bit later on, and so Elise Stefanik has emerged as a new Republican star in the impeachment hearings, and the left has taken notice, and she's been called every name in the book. We'll discuss that. And some people are mad because Burger King put meat in their non-meat burger, or they made their non-meat burger by the meat burgers. I don't even know. We'll discuss all of that. Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service. I've used them for a number of years, and you really need to ask yourself, are you funding progressivism? Are you funding that agenda? We are about a year away from, less than actually, from the 2020 election, and it's huge. You need to make sure that you're spending your money in the right place and having a good cell phone service that allows you to actually use your phone for networking and liberty evangelism. And Big Mobile charges hidden fees that fund progressivism, and they basically go after the things that you vote to protect. So right now, you need to seriously consider switching to Patriot Mobile, the only conservative cell phone service out there. Get a free phone when you open a new line of service with Patriot Mobile. You can get a free Moto Z3 Play and support your values. It's very easy to switch. Keep your number, get super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and use promo code ZFREE or call 877-367-7524. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 877-367-7524. The free phone offer is valid through Cyber Monday while supplies last.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Reuters reports that a lawsuit claims Burger King's Impossible Whoppers are contaminated by meat. Burger King was sued on Monday by a vegan who accused the fast food chain of contaminating its meatless Impossible Whoppers by cooking them on the same grills as it cooks its traditional meat hamburgers, because apparently this vegan thought he was dining at a five-star establishment where they have separate griddles for their made-up not-meat sandwiches and regular Angus beef sandwiches. So the lawyer didn't respond for a request for comment because the entire lawsuit is stupid, and talking about it at all whatsoever, I think, would just jeopardize the guy's effort. Seriously, it's a fast food restaurant. What did you think was going to happen? Hey, just in time for Christmas, I don't drink Jägermeister. I don't know anyone who does, but they've launched a limited edition Slayer bottle. If that's your jam, I mean, Slayer's everybody's jam, but Jäger, maybe not. They have a limited edition Slayer bottle to honor Slayer. It's 1.75 liters. It was launched just before, actually this June, but now, I mean, I'm just saying, stocking stuffer, and it comes in this cool wooden box and stuff. I'm just saying. So the Slayer Jäger, just in time for Christmas. So a couple of things. I thought this was funny. The Free Beacon got a 538 through 538. they were looking at Democrat voters in different parts of Vermont, Massachusetts, and elsewhere. And one of them was quoted saying about Elizabeth Warren that, quote, when I hear her talk, I just want to slap her, even if I agree with her. Wow. Does that, I guess she just sort of inspires that kind of, I don't know. Also, this is really, really sad. So it's, you, how many of you were, you know, I was a, you know, a 90s kid. I came of age in the 90s. And so late 80s, early 90s, it was all about Chuck E. Cheese and the animatronic weirdo band, which was pretty much like Five Nights at Freddy's. Well, now the band's done. That's it. They're redesigning Chuck E. Cheese's apparently, and the pizza players, they're all done now. That's really depressing. Stick with us. A lot more next.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
To ask the Ukrainians to help.
No, no, I got to set it up or people will think we're crazy. So my favorite thing about the internet, now, you know, bear with us because we have to live and marinate in the impeachment stuff. Yeah, yeah, so let us indulge us for a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the letter rip tater chip heard around the world, they analyzed it. I don't know who did. Someone on the internet. This is why some days I hate the internet, a lot of them. And then other days I'm like, golly, you know what? It's not the hero we wanted, but it's the hero we needed. And so someone actually was like, I'm pretty sure it's him because listen to him pause and et cetera, et cetera. And it was, come on, this is too good. Listen, this is so, I love it.
Ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat.
Oh my gosh.
And election.
Gosh, I love technology. I love, feel like I'm going to turn into Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. Yes, I love technology. Always and forever. Oh my goodness, so good. Anyway, okay, so make sure you check out danaradio.com, all new revamped site, and I got a bunch of stuff up there, a bunch of new content, and we're going to also hear very soon, you'll notice that there's a link up there that says shop that does not take you anywhere because that's coming. We're going to have a storefront, and then one of the things that I'm doing is I'm getting together businesses, small businesses, and very strictly, because I know that there have been attempts at stuff like this before and it hasn't been very successful with some folks. I'm very strict in that I want American-made products. And I've noticed, I've been totally going out of my way on that, by the way. And my kids, oh, this is what I wanted to tell you. I didn't have this on my list. So my kids and we, you know, my our family and that, we get together family game night, and it's usually like, you know, Call of Duty or Broforce or something like that. And the conversation about China and their involvement in gaming and all of this other stuff in Hong Kong, my kids are really apparently aware of this, and all their friends are too, and all their little gamer friends. I play casually. I do not use that word for myself, but all their little gamer friends all do it, right? And I've just noticed, where were we? We were out and about. Actually, no, I had to stop at the grocery store, and I was with my youngest son. And now he has taken to looking at things, and he checks to see where it's made. And he took things out of my cart. He took two things out of my cart because he said, well, this was made in China. He let me keep the thing, one that said made in Taiwan. He let me keep that because he read that they don't like China and China's mad at them.
Yeah.
I did not like feed them any of this information. There's so many in the gaming community that are so fed up with this stuff. So now my kids are like checking to see where things are made. Like, oh, no, we're not getting this. We're going to set this right back here. This made in China. So, and I don't mind. I actually don't mind paying more for something to be made in the U.S. Just give people the option. You know what I mean? Like, why is it so hard to find that stuff? Anyway, I had this internal conversation with myself, and I told my husband, I'm like, you know, when we do the storefront, because there's a lot of stuff that's coming up in the new year. When we do the storefront, I want to also have a place where these are American made products that I would use from small businesses. So if you and you can go to Official Dana Lash on Facebook, if you know small business where things are made in the USA and you would like, you think they need to be considered for inclusion, you can go to official Dana Lash and write my top post up there. It has contact information. Well, it was the top post until we did the live stream. But anyway, it's up there. And you can also just hit contact on danaradio.com as well, because I want to make sure that we include all of this in. Tips at danalash.net is the email address. So make sure you go check that out. Okay. I was almost too young, I think, for Charlie's Angels. I kind of remember it, like the real one. Yeah, it had
Farrah Fawcett,
yes. And then it had the other, the woman who has the suits at Kmart, Jacqueline Smith. I'm not saying that as like a derogatory, by the way. I'm just saying that's how I mostly remembered her. Because when Charlie's Angels was on, who was the other lady? She was she was in a bunch of other stuff. Kate Jackson. She was in a bunch of other things. And so I didn't really, I think I would have liked it if I had been like a teenager, you know. When I was young and when I was in high school, the show that I watched was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like the OG movie came out when I was in junior high and then like elementary, junior high. And then the series on with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Christy Swanson was the OG Buffy. Sarah Michelle Gellar with the television series one. That was my jam. That's the show I watch. I watch Buffy every week. So I didn't grow up with like the Charlie's Angels, but I always thought they had A, amazing hair. B, I don't know how they always looked to manage like they just stepped out of a bandbox fighting crime and going after bad guys. You know, they were always like immaculate. And a lot of people have tried to remake it. I thought Drew Barrymore's version was fun because I like Cameron Diaz and I like Drew Barrymore because she's fun and she's not in your face with stuff. She like brings their, they make the movies fun. I like, people want to go to the movies to escape. We don't want to be lectured at, you know what I mean? You want to go and you want to escape and you want to have fun and you either want to laugh or you want to be scared. I don't really, you know, I'm not so huge into rom-coms, but there's some that are not bad. But It was fun, right? It was super fun, and they didn't take themselves too seriously, which is what I loved. They knew they were doing a super fun chick flick, and they knew why guys were going to come and watch it, because they're hot, and the guys wanted to see hot women fight. So,
pretty basic.
And they embraced it because they're not over pretentious, and they're just laid back and chill. I enjoyed them. I watched them. And so now they have a new one out. There's another one. And I have not even heard anything about it. Except this is legit the first thing I'm hearing about it. Which I would have to think is pretty bad marketing for your film. When the first thing that's trending out there is, well, guys, men aren't going to come see it. We already know that. It's going to be sexist. It's going to flop because people are sexist. When that's the first thing that I'm hearing about your movie, before it's like even going all out there, I don't even know. So apparently it is not doing well. But I don't think it's because of all of that. It only got 8.6 million domestic opening. It had a budget. Oh man.
No.
It had a budget of 48 million.
What?
And they didn't even make 9.
Oh.
Oh man. So, yeah, it's basically a redo of the 2000 film with Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu. So they didn't totally go for star power. They went for two actresses I don't know and that one chick named Kristen Stewart who does only indie films so she can shed her Twilight image. And I don't know. They said that the reboot, and these are progressive publications, by the way. One reviewer said that the reboot is so concerned with its messaging that it fails to be fun.
Oh, there you go.
It's Charlie's Angels. It is a man who speaks through a speakerphone and he calls these chicks his angels. Come on. Don't make this super serious. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be kind of tongue in cheek. No one thinks these chicks can fight. So stop. You know, stop trying to convince us. It's supposed to be fun. So, oh man, it is so, this one review that I read is so harsh. It's harsh. And yeah, they said it just tried to be too woke. And Elizabeth Banks wrote and directed it. And I like Elizabeth Banks. She always seems fun. So I don't want her to be like, oh, it's just because of sexism. No, it doesn't really have anything to do with sexism, I think. People, I think you have to remember who your audience is, and you have to remember the core of the work that you're redoing. And you can't make something that's literally called Charlie's Angels. And again, it's about a bunch of hot women that can fight like dudes. That does not happen like that in real life. Okay? That's why people go watch it. They go watch it because that doesn't happen. The women who can fight like that don't look like that. Okay? They're not little bitsy in size zeros wearing couture on red carpets. Okay? They're going to smash your face in like Ronda Rousey. That's what I'm saying. Who's very pretty, but she doesn't look like she's going to break her wrist if the wind blows too hard. I'm just saying. So there's a, you know, there's a reason. And I really like Elizabeth Banks, but I think that they tried to make it too serious. And that's what some of the reviews that I've seen from this, it wasn't like the super, it's just fun. And then they said that the cast apparently was a letdown because it was, you had two newcomers, so you couldn't trade on their name for marketing. And then they just, I don't know, there was a bunch of other stuff that, I mean, it's a long review, but I really don't, it doesn't have anything to do with sexism. It's not sexism's fault that I think that this happened. It doesn't have anything to do with sexism. It just, you did you see Gal Gadot? She didn't say, this never came into play with Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman is in some ways tongue-in-cheek and also a serious exposition on current ills of society. But it doesn't take itself too seriously either.
And that movie made money.
Oh, that movie made bank. And it was a good film, too. It was a good film, and it happened to have a female lead. I can't stand when people are like, I'm going to make a super successful movie starring chicks, and it's going to be successful because it stars chicks. You know what makes a successful movie? A good story. Mm-hmm. A well-done story. That's what makes a good movie. If it happens to have a female lead, so be it. Then guess what? It's successful. You know how many films out there have had female leads and they've been really, really good? A lot of them. A lot of them have. So I don't know. I'm just so tired of, because Olivia Wilde did, there was an article that gave that example where her directorial debut failed because it just, you can't blame sexism when everyone is marketing the film as it's the politically correct version of a film that you love. We're going to ruin everything by turning it into a giant woke scold celebration. That doesn't sound fun, right? What would you rather see, Kane? Hold up. What would you rather see? Let me just... Wait.
Okay, you're going to give me choices.
Yeah, I'm going to give you choices. Okay. Here's choice one. Charlie's Angels, a trio of hot women kick bad guys in the face and have fun doing it. Or, that sounds fun.
I like that one.
Or, Charlie's Angels, where three very successful, competent, empowered females go after bad people and are in no way subjugated by the title of this film.
Lost me and subjugated. So yeah, I would say that would have to be the first choice, Dave.
First choice. Steve, what about for you? First, your dude.
I'm gonna go with number one.
Number one? I think so too. And I mean, I don't even think it matters if you're a dude or chick. I think people normally would want to go see the fun one, right?
Right.
I mean, they just want to go see the fun one. That's it. And just be a good story. You know, even if it's woke, just be a good story. So like, what was it? Terminator, Dark Fate. Best one, I think it's the best one. I love Terminator. I love the Terminator series. And Linda Hamilton is who I'm going to be when I grow up because she is amazing in this movie. She's amazing in every movie, but she's particularly amazing in this movie because she, I really believe, would beat your face in. Like, I believe it. And she knew, and I also appreciate proper handling of firearms because it shows not only people, they took the time to understand what they were doing and develop a little knowledge of it, so it makes it look realistic for us. So it doesn't, you know, I don't have to get rid of my suspension of disbelief and it doesn't take me out of the story. You know, I really appreciate that. But it was a good movie, and there were chicks leading it. The dudes were basically support at that point. But here's the thing. The film, it was written to be a good story. And I think there were certain things that were kind of woke scold. The fact that it was at the border, woke scold. But you know what? It was such a good story. That did not deter me. Were there explosions? Oh, yes. Was there face punching? A lot. was there pyro? Gobs. I mean, robots melting, people getting told, and Linda Hamilton kicking everybody's face in. I mean, okay, so I can take a little woke scold. It wasn't over the top. It was there. But the story, the movie was so well written. The action was so good and it was shot so well. It got over it. You see what I'm saying? You have to offset this stuff. It can't be 100% suck and then you blame sexism. It's not how this works. I like this genre. But just don't take yourself so seriously. Come on, have fun. You know what I mean? Have fun. Because we'll have fun with you. All right, we got more to come, including, hold up, because I'm not really, we got Florida man on the way. We also, what is traffic violence? Whoa. Just, that's a phrase that a politician has used. I'm going to explain more about, well, we're going to talk more about it here coming up, but I just want to throw that out there so you have that to think about. What in the world is traffic violence? Everything's something violence. Anyway, I guess we're going to ban cars next. All right, as we move on. The holidays are approaching and you might be thinking about how you're going to save some extra money. If you haven't thought of it yet, you need to consolidate your high interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. It's much lower than the national average interest rate of over 20% APR. Plus your rate's fixed. So as the rates climb, your low rate won't go anywhere. There are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, and you can apply on your phone even. All, and just right now for those of you listening, you can apply right now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get the discount is to visit lightstream.com/DL, not L-I-T-E, it's LIGHTSTREAM.com/DL.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/DL for more information.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Well, if I had to read this story, you got to hear it. This is one of them. I think he could actually probably benefit from South Dakota's meth. We're on it campaign. This comes from Smoking Gun. Police say that a Florida man stored his meth stash in his belly button. Subhead, drug found, quote, wedged deep, unquote, in 380-pound suspect's cavity. Yeah, so he looks like a winner-winner chicken dinner. So November 18th, following his arrest for possession of a hypodermic needle containing methamphetamine, a 380-pound Florida man was hit with additional felony charges after jail personnel discovered a bag of meth wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the defendant, according to a court affidavit. Police responding late Friday to a suspicious person call placed by employees of a McDonald's arrested Martin Skelly. Oh, boy, that's just too good to be true. Martin Skelly keeps meth in his belly. They arrested Martin Skelly when a search of the 41-year-old, who looks 70, turned up the loaded needle. Following Skelly's caller for possession of narcotics and drug paraphernalia, cops asked him if he was in possession of any other contraband, since he could face additional charges if he brought those illegal items into the county jail. Skelly denied this. However, during intake processing, Skelly was subjected to a thorough body search, and they discovered a plastic bag containing meth, and it was wedged deep within the belly button cavity. He's 5'8 and 380 pounds. Skelly said, quote, I was just being dumb and not thinking, end quote. Really? Stay with us. Third hour next.
How can I put this? Christmas ornaments, drywall, and Jerry Epstein. Name three things that don't hang themselves. That's what the American people think. That's what the American people think. And they deserve some answers. And I know that you're not in charge of these investigations.
Yes, sir.
But you talk to the people who are. And I need you to take a very respectful message today.
Mm-mm. Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana. Christmas ornaments, drywall, and Jeffrey Epstein. Three things that don't hang themselves. There's just no proper way to come back into this third hour. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. I'm Dana Lash, at Dana Lash on Twitter, Official Dana Lash on Facebook. Make sure you check out also Official Dana Lash on DanaRadio.com. We relaunched the website yesterday evening, and you can watch the full 3 hours of the radio program. You can access it off of DanaRadio.com, YouTube, Facebook, however, and you for the full 3 hours, and you can also access the podcast archives as well. So, and there's some new content up at DanaRadio.com, so make sure to go and check it out. So the headline regarding that, FBI is investigating what they call a criminal enterprise in Epstein's death. A prison chief admits, as a male and female guard are indicted for browsing the internet for 8 hours instead of checking on this dude and lying on the inspection forms the night that he did not hang himself. So it was at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, New York. They didn't check on him for 8 hours. They only found him when they went to serve prisoners breakfast at about 6:30. By the way, it wasn't so that he could stay alive and safe. It was that he could have due process and then have, in my opinion, capital punishment should be inflicted. And then you should also have the names of all the individuals that were involved with him. And so they had Kathleen Hawke Sawyer. She is the Bureau of Prisons director, testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier today. And that's from Senator Kennedy. That's some of what we heard there. But they're looking at a possible criminal enterprise. So because they falsified records to cover up their failure to check on him. And so it looks like this is going to get messier. There were two rounds that they didn't. They were supposed to do a round at 3 a.m. and one at 5 a.m. and they didn't do either of them. That seems, there's no way this guy did not off himself. End of story. He did not. It was like from a bunk bed? Mm-hmm. Isn't he as tall as a bunk bed?
A little taller than the way, yeah.
Now, how does that work? It doesn't. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of me asking that. It doesn't work. That's why. Because he didn't do it. So, somebody did it. Mm-mm-mm. So, those officers, they're charged in connection with that. So we'll wait to see how that all comes out. Because they said that what there's like 1,000 names or something associated with this guy. Ooh. Mm-mm-mm. All right, so I asked you guys a question last hour. What is traffic violence? Let me read to you this quote from Elizabeth Warren. She had tweeted, "Traffic violence kills thousands and injures even more Americans every year. On World Day of Remembrance for Traffic Crash Victims, I'm sending my love to the families and friends of those who've lost loved ones. It's time to hashtag end traffic violence." Now, I didn't even know there was a World Remembrance Day for traffic crash victims, but that's a nice thing to have, you know, to remember that. But traffic violence? What happened to traffic accidents? I mean, that's
talking about road rage specifically, right? Because those
numbers... is she talking about terrorists who run vans into crowds of people?
I don't know. But the numbers she's stating on those deaths, they can't be just because of traffic violence.
Traffic violence. So, and like I said, the World Day of Remembrance for Traffic Crash Victims. It's a nice thing. That's a good thing because you know that automobile accidents kill so many individuals. But traffic violence. What is the benefit of calling it traffic violence? Is she going to try now to ban cars? I mean, is she going to ban cars?
Is it easier to be against violence or against accidents?
I mean, what is her problem with the word accident? What is her problem with that word? And then if you're saying it's traffic violence, how are you? So what's her? I don't know. I mean, you could say cars. I think one of the statistics were cars were the automobile accidents. It's one of the top killers of children in the United States and worldwide. So ban cars? Is that where we're going next? Banned large capacity SUVs?
And
I mean, yeah. And we have to have universal background checks for all purchases. So you're not going to be able to sell one vehicle to another individual privately. It's going to have to be registered and all that's going to have to go through the state. Should limit the amount of fuel people can buy, the amount of gas people can buy every month.
Right,
the
tires.
Mm-hmm. The tires. And if Kane say, like, if your car gets stolen, you should be liable for that.
Yeah, and whatever happens in my mm-hmm. car, it's going to be my fault.
Yeah, and if your car is not securely stored, then and it gets stolen to be used, and you're up on negligent laws for that, and you should be, yeah, there you go. So that's, I mean, essentially, I guess that's what she would be calling for. But that's just weird. They make up this stuff as, like, she's trying to create an additional problem to go along with the problem that we already have. I don't understand this.
I think she saw it work with the gun narrative, where they say gun violence when we know the majority of them are suicides, so it's clearly not violence, but they still are out there touting it mm-hmm. as violence. So I'm guessing she thinks she can do the same thing with this.
Yeah, well, apparently. But doesn't it, to me, it seems like it's a kind of, it almost sounds like she's mocking traffic accident victims in a way, you know? So Elise Stefanik, we played some of her audio soundbite a little bit earlier. She's really, a lot of people have taken notice of her since the back and forth questioning. So I have to share this with you. She was attacked by, verbally. She was smeared verbally by George Conway, who was mad at her because of, I guess, I don't know what. She wasn't wrong when she was talking and asking questions. So George Conway had tweeted, quote, Elise Stefanik is lying trash. Please give to her opponent. Lying trash.
So civil.
Boy, I mean, I understand that he's got a problem with Trump's tweets, but Trump's tweets, though. I mean, he can call people lying trash, but Trump's tweets. I mean, how dare you question him? He's the moral superior to all of you, right?
No.
Then he shared, and this was according to Town Hall, he shared an image. There was a photoshopped image going around of Elise Stefanik flipping the bird to a C-SPAN camera. And he said that, oh, well, this is her being trashy, but except it was a total fake. He shared a photo, clearly, and it looked photoshopped. Not only that, but in the image, she had nail polish on. And then in all the footage and all the cameras and everything else, she has no nail polish on at all whatsoever. And there's other differences, too, but that's the biggest. Can you imagine, by the way, spending that much time on Photoshop and to fake an image, and then you just, like, forget something as obvious as the nail polish? So he was sharing that, and he called her trash, and then he never apologized for actually calling her trash. And someone said, yeah, you're sharing a Photoshopped image. And he goes, well, she just shamelessly and brazenly, this is his actual tweet, lied in a ridiculously trashy gaslighting stunt. That's indisputably real. Oh. Trash. So wait, support all women or no? How does this work? Yeah, well, you know, there you have it. So, and she, by the way, I think she's been critical when appropriate, and she's given credit where appropriate. So it seems really ridiculous and to slam her and smear her like this. And she doesn't carry the water for anybody. She's never been a total straight up party line voter, all the stuff the Democrats aren't. So I don't know. But the way that she was, the way that they calling her trash, I thought was that's ridiculous, especially by the people who always constantly complain that about Trump's demeanor. And then I guess they think that in order to combat that, they have to go, they just say, well, we don't like what he's doing, so we're going to do worse than what we think he's doing. And it wasn't just that. It was also Chrissy Teigen, who somehow her husband was named the sexiest man alive when Jason Momoa and my husband exist. I don't know. But she also said that Elise Stefanik was trash, because that's the total definition of feminism. It's just to call other women trash, because you can't think of an actual intelligent way to counter an opinion that they're giving or an argument that they're giving. So trash. I'm not surprised by any of that. These people are getting, I think that they're getting nervous. I think she's going to go somewhere, Elise Stefanik. She's been doing very good so far, but I want to see what else she does too. Also, a couple of things. We were talking a little bit earlier about Chick-fil-A, and I made mention of how GLAD is demanding that they do more. So after, and we talked about this last hour, you should go back and listen to the podcast archives if you missed it. The head of GLAD, one of the LGBTQ groups, said that it's Drew Anderson, the director of campaigns and rapid response, said that that the employees and customers of Chick-fil-A should, quote, greet the announcement with cautious optimism, but that the company still has a checkered policy when it comes to LGBTQ rights. And I'm like, how? A guy who operates, who owns the company, privately believes something? How does that affect your rights? That's not doing anything. And they said, quote, in addition to refraining from financially supporting anti-LGBTQ organizations, Chick-fil-A still lacks policies to ensure safe workplaces. Wait, okay, so this is what I don't get. What do they mean by safe workplaces? Because I actually know people who are gay that work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know them. Like, they're real people.
You know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's safe spaces. From what we see with the social justice warriors, and they want that same agreement with their opinion in a Chick-fil-A restaurant. In other words, it's only safe if you're doing things that they agree with.
Well, they said GLAD demands that Chick-fil-A lacks policies, apparently, to ensure safe workplaces, which I don't understand what that means. And they should unequivocally speak out against the anti-LGBTQ reputation that their brand represents. Which is so ridiculous as well. I'm going to also say again for the last time, it is intellectual laziness to say that simply by being a Christian that you are being anti-something. It is intellectual laziness, and it is engaging in ad hominem as a substitute for a reasoned, fact-based discussion. And furthermore, to even make such an accusation, it has to be predicated upon malice for that to work. So it's ridiculous, and it's anti-intellectual. It's a barbaric argument to make. I mean, honestly, we've invented the wheel in the house. Can we do better with our arguments also? Jiminy Christmas. I mean, you can get Flamin' Hot Cheetos now. Can we at least, like, be better with our arguments? This is so stupid. It's killing brain cells without the benefit of alcohol. They're wanting more. That's what happens when you bend the knee, because they want you to just bend it more and more.
Never enough.
Mm-mm. It's never, ever, ever enough. All right, so we got a couple of other things as well to get into you don't want to miss. And we have Today in Stupidity also still on the way. In the meantime, as we get moving on, Wreaths Across America is a great organization. December 14th is their big thing. That's their wreath laying event that they're doing at a number of veterans cemeteries and other locations around the country. And they have everyone get together. You can sponsor wreaths. You can sign up to volunteer at wreathsacrossamerica.org. And what they do is it's all about remember, honor, and teach. And it's remembering and honoring and teaching about the sacrifice made by those who served our country. They do a bunch of other stuff throughout the year, but this is one of their bigger events. And so we all get together, everyone gets together December 14th, and we lay wreaths on each of these veterans' graves, on each of the graves, and we say the name of the individual there and learn a little bit about the people who have defended our country. And it's a great way also to teach stewardship of our fellow man to the next generation and honor and sacrifice, which honestly, we need more honor in our society. There are a number of ways to get involved. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org. You can purchase wreaths, volunteer your time to help lay them on December 14th. There's a lot of ways that you and your family can give back. So join me and mine on December 14th. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, yeah, it's still all continuing, by the way. Beijing is beginning a Hong Kong roundup as they surround the last holdouts at a campus protest. This small band of protesters, they've had people who've tried to escape, etc. They've been holed up at Hong Kong University, and they were bracing for the endgame in a police siege of the campus. After 10 days with some of the intense protests, the government's been taking a lot of them into custody, so they're very slowly rounding them up, which is not good at all. And I just think that, not good at all. Not good at all. So I thought this was an interesting and also consistent remark by a Democrat with regards to all of the impeachment inquiry witch hunt ridiculousness. New Jersey Representative Jeff Van Drew, who is a Democrat, he was speaking on cable news the other day, and he called out his own side for fracturing the nation with an impeachment category and impeachment inquiry. And he says, quote, he goes, I don't think that we're hearing anything new. And we have to understand the importance and level of what impeachment actually is. Hundreds of years of history, no one's ever been convicted of impeachment. And that's the point. And he also said that they were really kind of making a mockery of a serious process, which is true. Montana seeks to keep feral pigs from Canada at bay. Billings, Montana. Officials in Montana are marshaling their resources and enlisting the public's help to keep encroaching feral hogs from Canada at bay with a program called Squeal on the Pigs. The campaign is to prevent wild, tasty hogs from going hog wild in Montana. You know what you do? Capture some of these wild hogs, feed them some grain, tame them up a bit, and then nom, 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 bacon. Just saying. That's because if you let them out in the wild, they'll all get wild and crazy again after a while. And Sweden drops the rape investigation into Julian Assange. Also, genetically engineered babies are within 2 years' time now as scientists make some terrifying, and should they be doing it at all, breakthroughs. That's really terrifying. So coming up, Mike Pompeo and the settlements with regards to Israel. We got some developments on that. Stick with us.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Calling the establishment of civilian settlements inconsistent with international law hasn't worked. It hasn't advanced the cause of peace. The hard truth is, there will never be a judicial resolution to the conflict, and arguments about who is right and wrong as a matter of international law will not bring peace.
That's Mike Pompeo. He is correct. They're not illegal. He was announcing that yesterday that the U.S. is softening its position on Israeli settlements in the West Bank. I don't like the word occupied either. All of this is, I don't even like using that phrase.
Vernacular is important.
It is important. I mean, when you're talking about a portion of land that people voluntarily gave up and left, and it's like they've done everything possible to make sure everybody's getting along. It's all kittens and sunshine. But heck no, you got some rowdy people, some rowdy, you know, area leadership that keeps, you know, just as Hamas. So the administration, through Pompeo, repudiated the 1978 State Department. It was a legal opinion. And it was stated that civilian settlements in, quote unquote, occupied territories are inconsistent with international law, and that it put the United States at odds with nations working to end conflict. That's how it's reported. You know how you end conflict? Hamas stops firing rockets. Oh, world peace. See how easy it is? It's so simple. It's very easy to do. They got to stop firing rockets off. I mean, this is not, you know, rocket science, actually. Really, it's not. So I think the administration has done more with regards for Israel and Jerusalem and our ally there than previous administrations. They really have. Okay, so this is bringing me to, I got to get into this. I'm probably going to make some people mad. I don't care. I don't really want to get into it because I think it's a distraction from big issues. So I've read a lot, and I also, by the way, don't want to magnify something and make it seem like it's bigger than it is. But there's been this bust up of some factions on the right, and this is reminding me of all of this because there's this bust up of some factions on the right, and It's based around identity politics, and there have been a lot of people involved in it, and some of them have bigger names, some of them don't, and it all goes down to, basically, it was, what is it, you have, it's the alt-right, and you have how Trump Jr., when he was at a campus, and he was promoting his book, and there were some alt-right people that were there, and they were questioning him on, you know, certain things, and saying, why are we supporting Israel, et cetera, because, you know, it's smart to support an ally in a particular part of the world where everyone else is just, like, frenemies with you. But I digress. I realize that strategy is just far too beyond the conceptual ability of certain people. However, It's been this big argument that I've seen over and over again, and I've only talked about this a couple of times before, but I'm going to say it again. Any ideology, I don't care how they masquerade, I don't care how they identify themselves, I really don't give a damn what they call themselves. Any ideology that lists as a priority or lists as a tenet of importance that identity politics, where they're centered around identity politics and they identify through identity politics first, whether it is appearance, skin color, etc., that is not conservative, nor Republican, nor liberty-minded. It is the antithesis of E Pluribus Unum. The end. There's no argument. None. The end. And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry that you're wrong. I'll pray for you. Because that's just how it is. Anything, it's just like how you have people on the left who are obsessed with identity politics. They're obsessed with these boxes. They are this first. They're that first. They're this first. They're that first. And that is a progressive ideology. The United States was not founded upon identity politics. It was founded upon that animating spirit of liberty. And here's something else that I'm going to add too, because I've seen a lot of these people who call themselves part of the alt-right. And by the way, it was the alt-right that first doxed me and put my address online. And some of them are trying to masquerade right now as not really members of the alt-right, and they're trying to rebuild themselves as just basic, regular, everyday conservatives. But screenshots don't lie, and they don't forget. And I don't either. But they were the first ones to put my info out there, and then the left took advantage of it. They worked with the left, and I had dangerous people coming to my house as a result. So, and they're a progressive group. They're the same as Antifa. They're no different than Antifa. They just pretend that their cause is somehow more virtuous. But this is something else that I've seen. I've seen a lot of people who are insistent on identifying with identity politics first, and they're also trying to present themselves as being Christians, being faith-based people, right? I've seen it over and over again. I've seen people who say, well, I'm an American first, whatever. And by the way, nationalism is not wrong. Nationalist isn't a bad thing. It's you can be proud of your country, and you can want to make sure that, you know, you have secure borders, et cetera, et cetera. I think when you have a political ideology that says, well, America, for instance, was founded for white people or just something like that. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Liberty isn't patented by anyone. And anyone who's calling themselves a Christian and saying these things, you're betraying the faith that you claim you have. Because you're identifying as something other first than a child of God, as a member of the kingdom. And as a result, you're trying to say that one person is more redeemable than the other. That's not Christian. I will Bible thump you all day long on this. That is not Christian. By participating in identity politics, you are pushing this incorrect, illogic precept that somehow there are some people more redeemable than others, and that is a sin. It is a sin. End of discussion. And if you dislike that I said that, you can take it up with the good book, because apparently you think you know more than God. Some people really need to get told. And I've seen this happening with a tiny number of people on the right, and I don't like it. I see this stuff more on the left, and I see racism and bigotry more on the left. I don't like seeing this stuff on the right, and I don't like seeing people try to present themselves as, well, we are, you know, Christian white people, and this was the country was founded on this, this, and this. First off, again, you are not benefiting the causes you claim to hold close to your heart in any positive or consistent way. And there's no defending it. There isn't. Now, I'm not going to boss people around and tell them what to say and what not to say. I don't believe in cancel culture. I think that cancel culture and hive mind activities are symptoms of weakness. I mean, I have never been so afraid of a different or a challenge to my correct positions, and I have never been so afraid of a differing opinion that I've wanted to cancel it out of the public sphere. I mean, heck, half the time some of these people say things so crazy, I don't even need to have a rebuttal. They just do it all for me. It's like, you know, an homage to Churchill. Never murder your opponent when they're committing suicide. Half the time, I don't even need to say anything, rhetorically speaking, because people who read with pictures need to have that said to them. I don't need the absence of anything from the public square. I always believe in more voices, not fewer voices, period. Even if they're racist, even if they're horrid, awful, you know what you do? You use more speech. Good speech. Faith-based speech. Speech that isn't rooted through the perspective of identity politics to drown it out. But there's no defending it. And I've seen some people say, well, you know, we're America first. How in the world is that any of that America first? And that's a rhetorical question, because the answer is it's not. If you are pushing the idea that if you're pushing identity politics, you are no different than Antifa. If you are pushing identity politics, you are no different than Black Lives Matter, only Black Lives Matter, because that seems to be what progressives insist instead of everyone's lives matter. If you are pushing the division of individuals based on things that are beyond their control, you are stating that you are a better judge of who is more redeemable and not than God, and that is a sin. End of story. And I've seen some of these people, oh, I'm so glad that some of these folks can get a green screen and they can sit in front of their, you know, I don't know where, in an office supply room and talk into a camera. Okay, great. Everyone can put stuff out there. Doesn't mean everyone deserves to be heard. You have to earn that. You don't have a claim on anyone's attention span. But I've seen a lot of people arguing over this, particularly on the right, and there's been some headlines made and some people who have ended associations with others and groups that have ended associations with others. But the bottom line is this. There is identity politics is a sin. And people who engage in identity politics are sinning. People who are trying to hold up other individuals based on whether they're a man or woman, or whether they're white or black, etc. Again, and I'll say it one last time, you're trying to assert that one individual is more redeemable than the other, and that is a sin. Stop. And I see this, again, a tiny portion on the right, but I don't like it. And some people might get mad that I say that, and I really don't care. Which is why I've been in this as long as I have been. And that's all it is. There are people who, and I've seen a lot of, and one of the things that I've seen in the alt-right, a lot of these people are very recent progressives. Which makes sense, because they share the same tenets. They share the same beliefs. They share the same tactics. They share the same approaches. A lot of them were hardcore Obama people until just recently. And then they're a part of the alt-right now. Which is, you know, again, individuals who are basing things off of skin color or European ancestry or whatever. Wah, wah. Which I think is corny. So, e pluribus unum. Either you believe in it or you don't. Bottom line. But I was thinking about all of this with regards to foreign policy decisions and everything else, because some of these people, it's weird, they want to act like they're the bouncers of conservatism and the bouncers of republicanism, but yet they can't even stay consistent with their own positions. First it was, if you even so much as criticize the president of the United States, then you're a betrayer, you're a betrayal to the republicanism and conservatism and et cetera, et cetera. Well, then you see these individuals, they would criticize the president for, you know, if he moves the embassy, they criticize the president for partnerships with Israel, et cetera. Well, there's a reason why we elected him and not you. Anyway, I just hope all that stuff, that all of that ridiculousness dies down. But they're the same thing. It's all progressivism. All right. So we have Today in Stupidity on the way. And you guys know that tomorrow is going to be more hearings, right? I don't even care about these dudes. Volker's talking right now. It's going to be the same old stuff. People who did not have at all whatsoever any firsthand knowledge of a phone call of which the transcript has been released. And they're going to try to tell you that there are things that you read that they're going to just basically lie to your face. This is what the transcript didn't say. That's all the testimony is. In the meantime, CarShield makes... They make people feel more secure on the road because they have people's backs where it concerns car repairs. Everything is so electronically controlled. Transmissions, touchscreen displays, dozens of sensors. That is expensive tech to fix. And this is where CarShield comes in. They have affordable protection plans. They can save you thousands for covered repairs, including computers, GPS, electronics, so much more. Choose your plan. Keep your mechanic, like really, legitimately, honestly, you can actually keep your mechanic that you trust or go to the dealership. They take care of the rest. 24/7 roadside assistance. And while your car's in the shop, you get a rental car. They've helped over 1 million customers. So you know that you have coverage from America's number one auto protection provider. That gives you a lot of confidence. So get covered by CarShield today by calling 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana or visit carshield.com and use code Dana to save 10%. CarShield.com, code Dana, a deductible may apply.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at DanaRadio.com.
The bottom line is four facts will never change, Dana. I don't care how many witnesses they bring in. They can have eight hearings this week, the two big hearings with our three witnesses last week. The facts have never changed. We've got the transcript. There was no linkage of an investigation to security assistance money. We got the two guys on the call. President Trump and President Zelensky, themselves, who have both said there was no pressure, no pushing. We have the fact that Ukraine didn't know that the aid was held at the time of the call. And most importantly, President Zelensky didn't announce, didn't promise he was going to start any investigation to get the aid released.
Yep. There you have it. So it doesn't matter how many people that they bring forward. The number of witnesses is not going to make any of them have heard. It's not going to change the fact that none of them didn't hear anything firsthand. That's not going to suddenly alter the space-time continuum. That's not how any of this works. So I like what he said there, Jim Jordan. It continues the hearings tomorrow, just really quickly, because they had Vindman and then Pence's... an aide for him, Kurt Volker and Tim Morrison are testifying now. Volker is the former U.S. special envoy to Ukraine, and Morrison is the NSC's former Russia and Europe director. He said he did not, Morrison's the guy who said that he did not find that call in July inappropriate. So that'll be interesting. And then tomorrow is Gordon Sondland. So there's only one guy tomorrow, and he's the U.S. ambassador to the EU. And he's expected to be like, that's supposed to be the biggest one. So we'll see how this goes. Also, really quickly, there's a very interesting story that Elizabeth Vaughn has over at Red State. New documents show DOJ files response to Peter Strzok's lawsuit and includes texts about his wife finding his cell phone and threatening to, quote, blow it all up. Yeah. So apparently his lawsuit was saying that the DOJ set out to humiliate him and smear his reputation when it disclosed all of these texts. However, yeah, well, it discovers that the wife got his phone and Paige had retexted him and saying, your wife left me a voicemail. Am I supposed to respond? She thinks we're having an affair. Should I call and correct her understanding? Leave this to you to address. And they're like trying to rewrite their history in text. And he goes, I don't know. I just told her we're close friends and nothing more. And so it almost, yeah, apparently the wife understood it real clear. Unbelievable. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, I think I have time to play both of these pieces of audio. First, Joe Biden is out there talking about Trump and acting tough. And, you know, he knows that he's going to beat Trump.
Donald Trump knows that I'll beat him. That's why he's spending millions of dollars on air, okay, Lying about me and risking his very...
So he says that Trump knows I'm going to beat him. But then he comes out and says this.
Oh, it's not going to be easy to beat him. We're talking about this is going to be this, the cakewalk. He's going to have $1 billion.
So, well, just like most of what we've been seeing from Biden on this campaign trail, it's been kind of sad.
Yeah, didn't he get, he got a couple of other things wrong, apparently.
Yeah, several things, but that's
this week, just this week alone.
That's our morsel.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so we'll have Gordon Sondland's testimony tomorrow. Woo! And of course, all the cable news spin, I'm sure. Folks, have a great night. Don't forget, danaradio.com. Go and see the new content. Go and access the podcast archives as well. Have a great night.